Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit suedistracteddriver.com.
You're listening to Middays with Bobby V right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, live from the Liquor Barn Studios, here's Bob Valvano.
Not Bobby V. Out today, Nick Curran in for Nick Valvano, in for Bobby V. Mark Lieberman, James Black here as well. Hour number three of the V Show. Thanks for being with us. Good stuff so far. Coach D earlier. Hope you heard that. If you didn't, check it out in the podcast center at ESPNLouisville.com. Joining us now, working in comms for soccer, Lou City, Racing Lou, plenty of play-by-play around the area, Floyd Street's finest. It is Jeff Greer joining us here on the V Show. Jeff, how are you?
I'm wonderful, fellas. How are you?
Doing great, Jeff. I'm watching the Iran-USA game right now, and all I can compare it to is my 8-year-old soccer games where they all run to the run to the ball. It's a little different watching this one.
The level is extremely different. There's
just
no
a smidge.
How did Nick get you agree to do this right now?
He didn't. He told me that it was going to be 145, and naturally did not follow up on that.
He texted me Greer at 2, so that's perfect.
Just for the listeners out there, I can attest to this. Jeff is the best, a gracious guy. He's one of the best in the business, so it's no surprise that you would come on as somebody's about to score here.
Well, hopefully not.
It's okay.
Oh, that's the other team. Okay.
That is
my
the Iranian
apologies.
Squad. What? Well, Did he book you as a men's basketball or as a soccer guest?
I didn't really say. We can talk about whatever you want.
Okay.
You want to talk about Thanksgiving? Let's rank our favorite sides.
We might get to that.
We can talk movies or TV shows as well. We just everything. Throw it all in there.
I got here at 1:30, so we're just rolling. We'll start with soccer because it's ongoing. 0-0. In the sixth minute, what do you expect from this? You probably are more plugged in on this stuff than most, and certainly way more than me. I know the U.S. needs the win to advance. What does this match present? How do you think it goes?
Yeah, it's a difficult game for the U.S. just because Iran is not a team that is going to really like expose themselves very much, like get forward a whole lot. They're going to try to defend first and make things really difficult. They don't need anything more than a tie in this game. So that makes it even more difficult for the U.S. So our team has to be on the front foot and really be aggressive. I'm hopeful that we can find a goal. I know U.S. soccer fans over many years have always enjoyed these sort of occasions because it seems like the U.S. always finds a way to get a goal when they need it. So I'm hopeful that that's what happens today. But I am like many. I'm not super confident. I think this is a really difficult game with a lot riding on it. So hopefully our young team can pull through and get a win.
You talked about it too. It's a situation where the U.S. obviously has to play more aggressive because Iran can sit back and settle for the tie and be good. So I would imagine, they'll look to be the aggressors, but with that can obviously present some exposure on the other end.
Yeah, no question. And look, you're going to be throwing bodies forward. The U.S. has a lot of young attacking talent, but has shown that they can be a little shaky defensively. So you've got to be very, very careful because the Iranians, they scored their two goals to beat Wales in added time. Like they did not score it in the first 90 minutes. It took the added injury time at the end of the game to get their two goals. So, you know, they can play the full game hard and still find ways to get goals late. So we have to be very mindful of that. But again, you know, look, I think for the U.S., a lot of people came into this tournament without super high expectations. I mean, I think people hoped that they would at least make the knockout stage, but anything after that would be, you know, it's kind of house money. And I feel like if folks can get a good vibe about this team after today's game, they may just be happy with that performance. But obviously, at this point, you want to see them win and get into the next round.
Should we have hired Ted Lasso?
I don't know if he's available. I think he's got one more season at AFC Richmond.
Well, we'll see if the U.S. can pull it out. Still 0-0. They're in the ninth minute now as the U.S. needing a win to advance to the knockout stage. Jeff Greer joining us here on the V Show. Some hoops. Louisville, Maryland tonight. Obviously, the start has been 0-6. And coming out of Maui where they had to play a lot of good teams and kind of went as expected going into that. What do you think? And the U.S. with a pretty good scoring opportunity here, and we'll see if there was a shot high there as the U.S. Certainly aggressive early on, but just this Maryland game, they're obviously trying to find some things to turn positive. A win would be huge, but what are you looking to see out of this team in a game like this tonight?
Well, it's a bad matchup for Louisville because yep. Maryland is especially good at it. I mean, they've been really sharp to start the season. They blew out a Miami team that is one of the three or four best teams in the ACC, at least on paper. And of course, Louisville then gets Miami shortly after this Maryland game. But Maryland's really good at offensive rebounding. They're really good at turning or forcing turnovers, and I think that's going to make it a really interesting matchup because Louisville defensive rebounding has been okay, has been better than I think pretty much every other statistical category, but they haven't really had to until they went to Maui face off against teams like Maryland that have the size and the physicality to contest a lot of stuff on the glass. But the bigger concern for me is turnovers. Louisville has been awful giving the ball away, and they're playing a team that's been really good at taking it away. So for me, I just at this point, I think everyone's just looking for signs that they can put together a complete game, actually look prepared for a game for once, and have a game plan that makes sense, and see if they can execute and stay close with Maryland and give themselves a chance to win. But for me, it's also kind of a little bit of a reminder, and I know you can't really do this. We call it resulting, where you think after the fact what could have been. But for me, it's a matchup against the coach who I think should have very much been strongly considered by Louisville, and Kevin Willard, who has the connections, obviously, to Louisville as a former assistant and has shown since he arrived at Maryland that he is as good of a coach for his age and his experience as there is, you know, not at the highest level. It's not like he's walking in with Final Fours and all that stuff. But this is a guy who I think is going to have a lot of success at Maryland. They're going to come in here and they're going to be well prepared, and they're going to be well coached. And I think it's just a really bad matchup for Louisville. And I think it's problematic for Louisville that games like this are on their schedule because it's just going to, I just think it accentuates some of the frustrations that people are having with this program right now.
Yeah, it's been a brutal schedule, like you mentioned, Jeff, and you touched on it. They're shooting 30% from the three-point line, but 51% overall, which just shows you they are a great offensive rebounding team. And that's been obviously a weakness right now with the Louisville team and giving up second shots, which Maryland almost treats a shot as a pass to them off the backboard or off the rim. So that's something obviously they're stressing. Turnovers, like you talked about, those are things that in these they've got this game, they've got Miami and so on. We talked earlier about it, about trying to limit those turnovers, trying to get to the defensive boards. I know it's being emphasized by Coach Payne, but then you go into a team that's long, athletic like Maryland, and it's got to be a consistent effort. It's got to be something where it's not tonight. You're just one and done. You're just so focused on limiting Maryland's shot attempts and then taking care of the basketball. I talked about the fact that they need to really attack the lanes and try and draw fouls on Maryland, get to their depth, and try and look to the point where, hey, by the 12-minute mark, they're at 16 fouls and have a chance to go to the line.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing is when you're struggling the way Louisville is, it's not quite to the level offensively that it was a couple of seasons ago during the COVID season. I'm sure Louisville fans remember just how miserable that season was offensively. It was essentially Carlic Jones trying to do his thing, and maybe, you know, they could get on the offensive glass if needed. But they were not able to score a whole lot of easy baskets that season. And this team is not scoring a lot of easy baskets. They're not getting putbacks. They're not scoring in transition. They're having to work for a lot. And I think a big thing that is obviously hampering their ability to do that is if you have every four possessions you're giving the ball away, you're already hampering yourself to a significant level. So Louisville has to figure out a way to take care of the ball better, to try to de-emphasize the it's almost like they're trying to force a square peg into a round hole with the amount of passing that they want. It just hasn't seemed to pay off in the way that on offense that is going to find success you would hope for. So they've got to figure out a way to get paint touches, to get into the lane through Al Ellis and not ask some guys who have been pretty turnover prone to carry a lot of that load. They've just got to figure out a way to shift away from that. But again, I mean, it comes down to effort, it comes down to smarts, game smarts, and it comes down to preparation. And I hate to be so critical so early into someone's tenure, but it just doesn't seem like they're very well prepared. It doesn't seem like the game IQ is very high. And when those things are an issue, you need to have a high maximum effort. And just look at the offensive rebounding and the second chance points, and you'll see what the effort has been. So it's frustrating for a program that was hoping to kind of rely on those things.
And that's, you know, you're going to see effort to the nth degree out of a Kevin Willard coach Maryland team tonight. So hopefully the Cards can kind of match that a little bit, or else we'll see what happens. Jeff, want to let you go. Obviously, I know you're keeping an eye on this. So Floyd Street's Finest, Jeff Greer, of course, Lou City, Racing Lou. And when's the next UofL women's game you have?
I've got the SIU Edwardsville game coming up, which I would think would be a relatively lopsided affair. But Nick, I'm very interested in this Louisville team and its makeup. I know there's been some bumps in the road early, but to me, they just look like a team that has all of the pieces. It's just a matter of getting them to gel. And I know that's sort of a cliche, but
it's true,
just
though.
Getting them to it is true, and get them to play together and get to be a little bit more consistent with all their pieces. I like the group that they have.
I do too, and kind of looking forward to seeing how tomorrow night goes against Ohio State, and then another tough road game at MTSU Sunday before that SIUE game on Tuesday. Will you be wearing an ugly sweater for that? It's ugly sweater.
I don't have a Christmas ugly sweater, but I've got time, so I'll see if I can go dress one up and pull it on for this game.
Will they let you wear it will be another question. Goodness, the U.S., wow, very aggressive here. A lot of early opportunities. We'll see if they can convert one. Always great to talk to you, Jeff. If nothing else, I guess we'll see you next week there at the Yum Center. Enjoy the rest of this match. Thanks for talking to us during it.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Jeff Greer, the best, and joining us not at 1:45, but right at 2. That was absolutely perfect. When we first brought Jeff on, I said, you agreed. How did Nick get you to agree to do this at 2? And he said, well, he didn't. It's supposed to be 145. And I, just perfect. Perfect
well, he
fo- answer.
He follows me on Twitter, so we're okay there.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, at Coach Lieberman on Twitter. We've got to get those Twitter followers up. Send them in. Jeff Greer, hear him on the call on the TV side. The SIUE game 1 week from today. The Cards and SIUE on the women's side at the KFC Yum Center. 437-9680, the UPS Jobs text line. Texter with a question for us, but really for you because it's much more geared to you. Wants to know, is the issue with U of L that everyone was wrong about the talent level and it is really bad, or is it bad scheme slash fit between the players and the coach?
It takes time. And having watched them at practice, I can tell you this, and it's not being an apologist, they are teaching them the right things. They're teaching conceptually what they want. But it takes so much time for players to buy what you're selling and to understand, to get away from doing what they want to do. It's very easy in the practice and stop it and teach and teach and teach. And then come game time, you revert back to a lot of bad habits, and you're not going to see a Coach Payne just scream and yell, which is what fans are clamoring for, because the work is going to be done afterward. The work is going to be done in prepping with film and so on. The talent right now on this team, I mean, it's we're not sure. I like some of the young players. I really do. I think they've got, with Kamari Lands, with Mike James, I like some of those things. I like Withers. He's been a leader. They've got to get more out of the post play, whether it's defending the post. And those guys don't have to be scorers. And I've mentioned this time and time again. And whatever Sidney Curry's role is, if he can be a screener, if he can rebound, that's fine. It's almost like offensive linemen in football. Not everybody has to have the ball and be a scorer. He's got to find a role. He's got to find a role, he's got to stay in a role, and he's got to star in a role. I'm not sure that's going to happen. But that goes for most of the bigs right now, because those guys aren't proficient scorers. Trainer, again, when you get to ACC play, he's going to be physically pushed off his spot. He's not going to be in a comfort zone, so that'll be different. This team right now is a perimeter-oriented team, and they've got to trust the pass. They've got to make the right plays and decision-making. And from what I've seen, from what they're preparing their team, they're doing the right things. It's not translating yet. And we're hoping it happens sooner than later. But what's being preached is the right message. It's just not showing up on the floor.
And it, I know people don't want to hear it, but it does take time. We've talked about it before when it was on with you a couple weeks ago. You've got a new head coach. He's never been a head coach before in Kenny Payne. So there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve there. A staff that's never worked together before, so that's going to be a little bit of an adjustment. Players that have never played for anyone on the staff before, so that's another adjustment. And then players who have never, some have, but as a whole, as a unit, they've never played together before. So there's a lot of things to sort of come together and adjust to, and that stuff takes time. And unfortunately, as it takes time, you'd like to maybe pick up a couple of wins. Mm-hmm. And they were very close to doing that earlier in the season. But obviously, 3 straight 1-point losses to start the year. And you know, if you're 3-3 with the same results in Maui, I think the feel is at least a little bit different than what it is when you're sitting at 0-6. And none of those games, unfortunately, went their way. But people get upset by it and say it's a cliche. But I think it's true. It's just kind of what it is.
It's just a litany of things that go into it. When I left University of Louisville and went with Richard Pitino as the assistant head coach at FIU, we had turnover. We lost 8 players. And early in the season, we got blown out at home by Stephen F. Austin. It did not look good. And then all of a sudden, come December, January, we're continuing to preach our philosophy, what we believe in, getting after those guys to understand what needs to get done. And then a short time later, we're playing for the conference championship. I was at Southeastern Louisiana, and our first year was just an absolute train wreck. Year 3, we're playing for the conference championship with 19 wins. These things can happen. But in our instant gratification mode, it's not there yet. It's not time to give up on anything Louisville basketball is doing. We all want to see a consistent effort. I'm with you on that. I'm not arguing that. But let's see if some of the things that Coach Payne is preaching is going to pay off.
You mentioned J.J. Traynor, too, and I think he's an interesting guy to me because we've seen him do some positive things, and you talked about, you know, in the ACC, when you get to that level and some of these games against these power conference teams that are mm-hmm. good, top 25 mm-hmm. level teams like Maryland, he can sort of be pushed off his spot. But he seems like a guy, you know, that can be a little bit of a matchup issue because he can force maybe some posts to come out and defend further out than they'd want to. He seems like a guy, you know, he might have trouble defending them, obviously, because of the size and maybe on the block, but he seems like he can create some matchup issues because there's a lot of bigger guys that may not want to come out and defend him where they'll have to on the floor because he can,
no question,
he can be out there. He can, right. He can play that way.
He's extremely long. He's active. He's got a decent mid-range game. And from a defensive standpoint, there's ways they can scheme to help him and so on. He has to do his work early because he's going to have a lot of big guys that want to duck him in. So he's got to have a foot fight, we used to call it, rather than a fist fight, meaning he's got to play with his feet really well to get in front of defenders. But, yeah, he can cause a matchup and be a stretch and so on, and that's consistency for him to get in the gym and just, hey, improve his game constantly from an area, find that sweet spot in mid-range shots where he can make and pull defenders away from the basket because he's got athleticism and he's long. So, yeah, he could be a factor for this team this year.
And looking forward to seeing how that comes together. Another texter says, 437-968 UPS Jobs text line, Lands freshman James Hurt didn't play last year. Miller played in 6 games last season, got hurt, obviously elsewhere. Brandon Huntley Hatfield didn't play much till the end of the season for Tennessee last year. Traynor hardly played at all here last year. So not a lot of experience there, and I think that is something good to keep in mind, too. You had L. Ellis and Jalen Withers and Sidney Curry who played big minutes together last year, and Roosevelt Wheeler to some degree, too. But after that, there's not a lot. Like the texter said, Traynor didn't play very much last year.
Right.
Got a little bit more time at the very tail end of the year under Mike Pegues, but didn't see a lot of time. And everyone else, you know, James obviously with the team, but was out injured for the year. Just new to everything. Like everyone's new to the program because it's a whole different coaching staff. So it's not like, you know, I've heard some people. Well, I saw someone tweet the star rankings of the recruits coming in, comparing this year's team to the 2013 national championship team, and they're very almost identical in like the star rankings of the recruits, but the difference being like the 2013 team had been a Final Four team in 2012. There were a lot of players back from that team, and it was continuity in the coaching staff and most importantly among the head coach. So everyone knew the expectations. You'd play together before. Like, that's obviously the difference. This time, bunch of guys that haven't played together before, and it's a completely new staff, including the head coach, and so no one's been in this program before because it wasn't around before this year in terms of who was leading it and the style of play they're looking for.
Right. It's finding that role for any player, especially when you haven't played and now you've got a new staff, and finding where you fit in, where do you want the shots to come from. That's synergy, and that's not something that's just going to magically appear. So they're figuring out ways. Again, it's November, and Gonzaga's not hitting the panic button. Of course, those guys have played together and so on, and they lose a couple games. North Carolina just lost back-to-back games. It happens. It's not the same comparison to this Louisville team because some of those guys have that synergy. They understand each other. It's as simple as if you drive a gap, do you know if that guy's going to sprint to the corner or if he's going to sprint behind and guard up so you can flip it to him? Are you driving? Is the post going to stay in the post? Is he going to get to a dunker spot? Is he going to go to a peel area? There's so many little things that they've got to continue to play together and understand that and have a feel for where they are on the floor. But I truly believe James, Lands, Withers, those guys are can be impactful for this team. And the post players, whatever it is, find that role where you can help your team win. And not everybody has to be a scorer, as there's a goal that we almost got.
Wow.
I just saw your reaction, well, Nick, as I was saying that I had to stop because you were just – The air just drained right out of you.
It did a little
one.
Bit. The U.S. has had a lot of chances here early, being very aggressive like we talked about with Jeff, and a header there that just happened to be right at the Iranian goalie.
You got to be deceptive.
Yeah, but the way they're playing, very positive here. If it keeps going like this, at some point they're going to get one. So
I like your positivity.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. And we'll see if that changes things if they – they get one, and then Iran has to be a little more aggressive. But just so much different stuff that goes into it. And like you said, still very early in the year, and that's something else to remember. I know it's 0-6, but it's also only November, so there's a lot of season left. Texter says KP and his guys are just snake bit. That's a jab at me. That's what I like to say.
Well,
the snake bit thing. Yeah. If a team, you know, loses a lot of close games, just snake bitten or things don't go their way.
Look, they had
so
they
far
had,
snake bitten. Yes.
Yeah, and they were behind the eight ball with recruiting. Let's look at they're evaluating every day which players can be impactful for them for season two. They will scour the transfer portal. I'm sure this is the type of team that would look for grad transfers as well, bring in some young guys, but also look for some veteran guys who've been through it and really vet those guys who care about winning and want to have a great season in a great program that's had great tradition. So those are things that you're looking for. And right now, there are a few signs. There are some things here and there. It's just got to be put together consistently. And I would say the biggest thing for this team is to just find roles for players, define those roles so they're comfortable, they know who they are on the court.
We'll see if they can take a step toward doing that tonight. I know we need to hit a break. Let's one more thing for you before we get to the break. Texter asked the question, so ask it to you. Asks, do you believe this team would be better if L. Ellis was moved to the two spot?
You know, he's still going to get the same shots. They moved him off the ball. They ran him in what's called baseline runners off of screens. But who is really going to be that point guard for that team consistently? He is their best decision maker as of now. He can really use ball screens. He's got to just make some better decisions. But I don't think it would benefit him moving off the ball. They can still do that. It doesn't mean playing the point guard position. There's different ways to get you the ball. You can pass, cut, come off screens on the other side. There's different ways to get you open. So it doesn't mean that he has to just have the ball in his hands all the time and just dribble until there's nothing else out there. So I don't think it's specifically moving him to the two. I just think there's different ways to get him some shots off of screens and off of different actions. And again, getting out in tempo, that would be great for this team as well.
The better hypothetical might be if they had more guard depth to maybe move them to the two, would that be something good? And maybe if they had, you know, if they had the depth at that position, maybe that, and he could move to the two because of that, maybe that would be a good
sign.
He has
a scorer's mentality.
Sure.
And that's normal. That's not a fault on him. So asking him to just get everybody involved all the time, and you see him do that early in the game, and then as the game kind of slips away a little bit, now it's a chance for him, hey, I've got to go downhill and try and make a play. And that's where you look at it, that's where his turnovers come from. His turnovers don't usually come early. They come later on when he's trying to do too much. So that might be a time when, hey, you hit a high post, and then he gets a handoff off a high post, or he cuts through and he gets the ball on the second side. There's different ways to get him the ball where he still remains the point guard, per se, and he's still getting touches and a chance to score.
will be very interesting to see how it goes tonight. The Cards in Maryland, coverage beginning at 5:30, 7 o'clock tip over on 93.9 The Ville. We'll take a break. More to come. Thanks for being with us. Mark Lieberman, Nick Curran, James Black with you. Well, we're in for Bobby V. Nikki V has not returned yet. We'll see if he does before the show ends. We'll be keeping a close eye on that. U.S. and Iran, 0-0 in the 33rd minute in the first half. Scoreless there. The U.S. being very aggressive. We'll keep you updated on that as well. The Americans needing a win to advance to the knockout stage in the World Cup. It's the V Show on a Tuesday here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
More V Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Welcome back. Bobby V out today. Nikki V out today, at least the last half of today. He's Mark Lieberman. I'm Nick Curran. James Black running the operation today. Thanks for being with us. A little bit more time left here on the V Show and a little bit more time left with Coach Lieberman. You've got to get out of here because you got a game tonight.
We do. But I've got a few more minutes with you, Nick. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Well, looking forward. It's your season opener tonight, right, too?
It is.
All right.
Yes, we play at North Bullitt tonight.
So that's a big night.
Yes. The game won't be carried on 680 or 93.9 The Ville, but that's okay.
Well, we look forward to hearing how it goes in the coming days.
We'll compete.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. That's awesome. I know it's always a big day.
It's been fun. Great kids and just coming back here, not one of your storied basketball programs and whatnot, but the people have been great. Administration has been great. And we have a goal.
Oh, the U.S. with a goal.
Did you like my –
Yeah, great work. Great work. So the Americans
timing?
With a 1-0 lead now right at 38 minutes. So the U.S. now just has to protect the lead and will advance to the knockout stage of the World Cup. It looked like Christian Pulisic put it in. And
good
now,
pronunciation.
Thank you. Maybe if that's right, hopefully. and just well done and collided with the Iranian goalie as well. So both down, and it was kind of a nasty collision as that went in off a nice pass. And the Americans have been aggressive all half and finally paid off. A lot of good opportunities, and they finally get one to go. They might check to see if he was offside, too. That was maybe pretty close, so we'll see.
I still don't understand that rule.
I'm completely making this up as I go. I don't know anything about soccer either. But
Nick, in soccer, too, like they've got to implement the flop rule because a lot of the guys pretend they're so hurt, and then all of a sudden they bounce back up.
Yeah,
they've got to implement that.
I used to do some PA for some U of L soccer. We sit in the press box and say, must be a lot of snipers on the building tonight or stuff like that because people would be down and it would be, you know.
All right, so
funny.
It's no offsides because I still see the one up there by the USA.
No, apparently not. I thought they might be looking at that, but I thought it was close. Pulisic's still down. They're on the field checking on him. The trainers are, so hopefully he's going to be all right. Obviously a huge part of this team. Captain and, came up with a huge goal to give the Americans the 1-0 lead, and we'll continue to keep an eye on that.
Kudos to you for the pronunciation and like who the player was to score it.
Well, that would be the only player I would really know, so luckily it was him. we caught a break there. Texter, 437-9680, that's the UPS Jobs text line. Texter asked this question. How do you explain John Calipari's first season at UK with a lot of new players and returning players that had to endure Billy Gillespie? They started 19-0. Quick learners on how to win. They had culture. They did know their identity, he said. That is an interesting question, obviously. Obviously want to pose it to you. My first thing that pops out is like John Calipari had been a head coach before. Obviously, he had a lot of success in Memphis. That's why he was in UMass before that. That's why he got the job at Kentucky. I think that's one major thing, I don't know if there's any other takeaways you have, but one major thing is you had a guy who had been a coach, had some guys with him that made the trek to from Memphis to Kentucky, so some continuity there. And that's one major difference between that Kentucky team and this Louisville team, is that you have a guy who had done it, had already built a program somewhere, and was not a first-time head coach.
You can go through. There's tons of teams that were successful in year one. There's tons of teams that were not successful, and it took some time. I can't sit here and tell you the specifics of it. Players, I don't like to say players are different, but there's so many other factors now with transfer portal. Those guys weren't going anywhere. So we had some decent talent, whatever it was with Gillespie, and there was some talent on that roster. If it was different and he took over now, maybe all those players leave. And there's noise, whether it's – we've been talking about Twitter quite a bit today, but there's so many people that are in players' ears about certain things. It could be different. To say what one factor was, I can't speak to that. But I do know Coach Payne has a plan. I understand the product is not what fans want to see right now. But there is a plan in place, and he's implementing it. And this might not be the group overall. There's components, but collectively, that understand what he wants. And so every program's different. Every coach is different. You made a great point. He had been there. He had played a national championship with Memphis. He understood what he wanted. Coach Payne, and I've said this before, he's and this is Bob Vavano talking about it as well. You know, great guy. He understands what he wants. He's fleshing himself out as a head coach as well. He's figuring those things out as well. And that's going to take a little bit more time. I didn't say a lot of time. I said a little bit more time. So players, or excuse me, the fans aren't irate.
And I mean, that's a very important point, I think, is, you know, when you have a new roster, sometimes it takes time for them to mesh, and sometimes they don't ever. I think, you know, last year Louisville had a lot of transfers that just didn't mesh for whatever reason. It never really quite came together. When you have a new coaching staff, it can take a while for everything to come together with the group that is there. And when you have both, I think it can take quite a long time too, especially when you throw in the added element of a new head coach. I still go back to that. You have to give Kenny Payne some time to, right, as you said, sort of flesh it out. He knows what he wants, but I think there is obviously a talent to knowing, mm-hmm, what you want and then getting your team to do that. And that is maybe not completely new, because he's obviously been a very successful coach, but maybe new in the sense that now, you know, it stops with you. The buck stops with you because you're the head man.
Most of the players at the high major level and other levels as well, they're alphas, the players, and they're fighting coaching. And it takes time for them to understand and to trust you and say, okay, this is why we're doing this. But they're fighting coaching, and that's a normal thing. It happens. There's locker room scuttlebutt. There's all those type of things. And somebody, you're hoping someone in that locker room, because I truly believe championship teams are player-led, not coach-led. So the players, there's somebody in that locker room saying, no, we're doing it this way. This is the way it's going to work, because this is how we're going to win. And he's been successful in other roles. Now he's as a head coach. Sure, it's frustrating, but you want those players to just trust him and not fight what he's preaching and what he's coaching, but that's not an easy task.
Yeah, and a texter points out, like said, and John Calipari had, I mean, look at the guys who were on that team in 2009, 2010. You've got guys like John Wall has had a pretty good NBA career. Like, DeMarcus Cousins has had a pretty good NBA career.
Back to my point.
Eric Bledsoe has had a pretty good NBA career. Not just good players at the college level, but guys who have gone on to play in the NBA.
Nick, I didn't have the roster in front of me. How many of those guys in this today's day and age in the transfer portal might have just left? They might have just said, I don't want to play for this guy. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Those three were freshmen, but a Patrick Patterson, who I think was really instrumental in that team being good,
of course,
is a good example of that, a guy who stuck around after the
coaching
change.
Guys like Patrick Patterson, then you're going to have some guys that say, okay, this isn't a fit for me, they're leaving, because that's the easy way out now for players and so on, rather than having that stick-to-itiveness to play in a system that will help them. Okay, I'm going to transfer, and sometimes it's beneficial to transfer. I get it. But a new coach comes in. Look, it happened at LSU. They lost almost every scholarship player this year. And Matt McMahon, who's the head coach there, does a very good job, was able to mix it and bring in the right mix, and they're playing good basketball. But every program's different. Every coach is different. People have to understand that.
I completely agree. Texter says, if Kenny Payne had John Wall, I think we'd be fine. There's probably a lot of truth to that. No doubt about it. Texter says, I make excuses, me, for every bad coach. I just try to live in a world of reality, and sometimes it takes a little bit of time. You've got to get out of here because, as we said, you've got big game tonight, the season opener. Mm-hmm. So good luck. Get a win at, with all due respect to North Bullitt, go get you a win there.
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, and looking forward to hearing your thoughts, I'm sure, in the coming days on, I'm sure you'll be recording
tonight. It'll be a late night. I will be watching both games when I get home, and look forward to seeing how our Cardinals play and how Bellarmine competes against Kentucky.
Looking forward to both of those games as well. So good luck. Enjoy those, and we'll catch you again down the road.
You sure will. Thanks, Nick.
All right. It's Mark Lieberman, Coach Mark Lieberman, his collegiate squad opening the season on the road at North Bullitt. He heads out to get to that. We've got a few minutes left in the show. If you want to send in your text, you certainly can. 437-9680, the UPS Jobs text line. 1-0 U.S., 5 minutes of stoppage time at the end of the first half. So trying to play that out and hit halftime with a lead. The U.S. continuing to be very aggressive even after scoring that goal. So that is good to see, and we'll see if they can hang on. Needing the win to get to the knockout stage, and now Iran needs a tie. So they're trying to find a way to get a goal and tie it up. That would advance that Iran squad to the knockout stage. So we'll see if the U.S. can keep the lead intact. Texter says over under 2 minutes of Cal playing zone tonight. I don't know. Would have been a good one to ask Mark. I'll be curious to see if that happens. I would doubt it, because I think that Bellarmine can shoot it, and it'll be a long zone, obviously, for Kentucky, but could be conducive to the Knights hitting some outside shots. You don't, if you're Kentucky, you want them to do that, because that could be a way for them to stay right in the game. So we'll see. Texter 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line says, I hate what we've seen so far with Kenny Payne, but for the guys that came back, this is essentially the third at least system they've learned in a year. I think that's a very fair point. Said first Ross McMaines with the constant motion. Then Max seemed to scrap that and go more back to his system. Then Pegues changed a lot personnel. I do think that that's a fair point. Guys just last year had to go through multiple iterations of what they were kind of doing. Even into the first five games with Chris Mack suspended, I know Mike Pegues is trying to run things the way Mack would, but there's always going to be some subtle differences, and I think we kind of saw that. And then Chris Mack gets back, and then, you know, he goes through some things and maybe changes things of his own, the Ross McMaines constant motion idea or not, based on how things are going. And then obviously Mack out, and then Mike Pegues takes over as the interim and kind of does things his own way. I think that's a fair point. And now Kenny Payne, obviously, in with a new system, will take a while, and I think that's a really good point. So I don't know. I know patience isn't what people want to hear, but I think it does take time. And if they could somehow just hang in against Maryland, compete for 40 minutes, match Maryland's effort, because you know they're going to play really hard. That's what Kevin Willard teams are going to do. That would be a positive to take out of this, and we'll see. Again, coverage beginning at 5:30 over on 93.9 The Ville, 7 o'clock, the tip tonight, the Cards and Maryland. Network coverage over on 93.9 The Ville postgame follows. Big couple of days here, big night tonight. You've got Louisville over on 93.9, Bellarmine here on 680 and 105.7. Pregame coverage at 6:45, 7 o'clock tip from Rupp Arena as the Knights take on the Cats. You can tune in to Doug Ormay and Mark Bug on the call there, and that will be a lot of fun again. Oh, and the U.S. has a second goal. It's a 2-0 U.S. Oh, no, I think they called offsides on this one. They did. So almost a second goal. Won't count. It stays 1-0. It was very close again, and this time the offside did not go the U.S.'s way. It did get called, and boy, just barely. So that one off the board. So it stays a 1-0 lead there in the 52nd minute after adding 5 minutes of stoppage time. So halftime should come any time now, and the U.S. hopefully headed into the halftime locker room with a lead. But again, really cool to see the Knights get this game at Kentucky, and I know it's been something long worked on there to see this come to fruition, first trying to get it as an exhibition game back when Bellarmine was still a Division II team, and now in Division I, getting a regular season game has been a few years in the making as well. So cool to see that. Good luck to them. Looking forward to both of those games tonight, Louisville, Maryland, and of course Bellarmine at UK. Tomorrow night, the U of L women hosting the fourth-ranked Ohio State Buckeyes in the Women's ACC Big Ten Challenge. Huge one for the Cards at the KFC Yum Center. Hoping to get a lot of folks in the building. We'll have it for you over on 93.9 The Ville with our coverage starting at 7:30 tip. And then after the game, you can hear the post-game show with Dave Skoll and Chrissy Banta. They'll be taking your calls, texts, and hearing pressers from Coach Walls and the players that may be at the podium as well. All of that over on 93.9 The Ville after a big game tomorrow night, the debut of those post-game shows for this year. Looking forward to that as well. And we'll see what the Cards can make happen tomorrow evening. And one more reminder, since I accidentally completely missed a meeting today, in part to come here, because I'm an idiot, Breakfast with Santa coming up at Louisville Slugger Field this Saturday, next Saturday, December 3rd and the 10th, BatsBaseball.com for time slots available. Great stuff as Outback Steakhouse, the presenting sponsor of that, providing the breakfast both days, spots available. Just go to BatsBaseball.com. Obviously, pictures with Santa, all kinds of other things going on, ornament decorating and more. Breakfast with Santa, Louisville Slugger Field this Saturday and the following Saturday. BatsBaseball.com. All your information there. It is halftime, 1-0 U.S. Second half coming up. I'm sure Andy Sweeney and company will keep you updated on that as the take coming your way next, beginning at 3 here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Andy and Strebel straight ahead. And you heard the promo earlier. Scangarello out at UK. They'll be talking about that. New president set to be named at U of L tomorrow for the university. Those are a couple of big stories. And the World Cup ongoing. Hoops, both teams in action tonight. Enjoy it. The take next. Thanks for being with us here on The V Show on ESPN 680.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.